Okay, 1452.
Authorize the appropriation of $51 million for a housing property fund.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Last week, the council approved the purchase of our first property under the voter-approved affordable housing bond, the 263-unit Ellington Apartments. This will help prevent displacement, and provide new, deeply affordable housing for hundreds of families. So here before us today are two technical items related to that purchase, and Kirk Krieger and Mike Johnson of the Bureau are here, as well as Andrew Scott, to answer any questions. But I would, however, like to offer a technical amendment to item 1452, which I am passing out right now.
Thank you.
And this amendment clarifies that a HUD loan, not grant, will be used. I think there might have been some discussion last week about a loan versus a grant. So,
are you offering this amendment?
Yes, I am.
I'll second the amendment. Can I ask a question, Dan?
Sure.
As a sponsor. So this sounds like a technical issue about how you're handling interim funding, but you're not changing. Your intent is to sometime next summer or later fund this with bond proceeds, correct?
Yes. The vast majority of the purchase price will be through bond receipts.
So this is just an interim funding mechanism.
Correct.
And it is still your intention to have the soon-to-be organized committee, oversight committee, review this transaction.
Correct. Yes.
That's why it specifies to be acquired bond sale proceeds. Yeah.
Right.
And I'd just like some clarification on the issue of grant versus loan. When we had the discussion last week, it sounded as though some of the federal funds might be not having to be paid back. So do you anticipate that you will borrow some, and if so, how would they then be paid back?
Turn it over to our very capable director, Kirk Krieger, to answer that question for you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Kirk Krieger, Housing Director. We anticipate utilizing a well-established FHA program called the 223F, as is in FOX program. HUD insures mortgages for affordable housing and for market rate housing through this program, and our intent would be to use the HUD money in the form of a loan for the rehabilitation needs of the property, which we estimate to be $10 million. We may also use some of the HUD money, up to $20 million in total, for replacement reserves. One thing I want to make sure the council knows is that this is a commodity of the Federal Housing Administration. It's not subject to appropriations of the federal government. So it is a usual and customary loan product. It's been available since 1974. Last year, HUD insured mortgages for 500 projects totaling 70,142 units at $4.5 billion. So it's not going to be subject to appropriations of the Congress nor of policy fiat by the federal government. It's a normal commodity product that would be originated through a delegated underwriter that we would select through a separate procurement process.
Thank you. That's good information. When we had the discussion last week, it was implied that there might be less of the housing bond because of the availability of this money. So if we did borrow it, what would be the mechanism to pay it back?
Our current thinking is that $37 million of the purchase price of the $47 million property would be from bonds, $10 million would be from HUD loan proceeds, and an additional $10 million of HUD proceeds would be used for the rehabilitation. So our loan-to-value ratio would be very favorable. The loan would be less than 50% of the value of the property. The other thing I'd like to say for the record is we ordered an appraisal when this property was put under contract. It takes about 6 weeks. We did receive a preliminary indication of value last week of $46,050,000. So we're within two percentage points of the appraised value.
But my question is, how will the loan be paid back from which fund?
It's paid from cash flow from the property itself. If you recall, the goal of the bond is for the entire population to be under 60% of the area median income. So they will all have leases. They will pay a rent that is affordable to them based on their household income, and that rental income will be used to pay the HUD mortgage.
Thank you. That's helpful. And so you're still, even though it's a loan, not a grant, you're still proposing to have the $37 million from the housing bond.
Correct.
And that works out for the maintenance of the property as well?
It does. In fact, we would establish maintenance reserves at the time that the program is financed so that we already capitalize those. And the reason for the $51 million is actually to cover some float between the $47 million purchase price and the short-term maintenance and repair needs of the property.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Director, can I just ask a question just for my own edification? Okay. What's the difference between this approach and the approach we've done in the past through the 108 loan program?
Well,
are they first cousins or are they totally different?
They're totally different.
All right, that's all I need to know.
They're totally
that's
different.
I'm satisfied. Okay.
All right.
I had some experience with 108 loan. I get that this is a different tool, and it seems like a responsible approach.
That reassurance too. Okay. Appreciate the reassurance about this being a commodity loan from HUD. Nevertheless, I urge you to take all deliberate speed and make application before inauguration day.
Thank you for that advice.
All right, further questions for our director? Anyone want to speak on this item?
I don't know if they're all still here. Wayne Wignes, Joe Waltz, Charles Johnson, and Michael Withy.
Okay, come on up, please.
And Ronald Brown also asked to speak.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. My name is Wayne Wignes. I heard last week on the news about women, children dying in Syria. Ever curious, look on TED.com, Google search, War Syria Infrastructure. This lady with a PhD, born and raised in Syria, she made an argument that the infrastructure in Syria served as a source of group identity and unity for people, and allowing that to be ran through opened the floodgates for dissension and eventually contributed to war. Now, social congruency and group identity are well-respected concepts in research, and I don't think it's unreasonable to say that they are inextricably tied to the habitat that they grow in. Now, apply this to Portland. I'm a day laborer here in Portland and a student. I'm the one taking your homes and your buildings apart, and I help unload the materials to new places. So I see what goes down, and I see what goes up. What goes out is things like basalt stone pulled off the ships from China, uncovered 100, 200-year-old well, natural wood, brick. Somebody was telling me about at a bank downtown. We demoed the stairs. It was white marble, and somehow they managed to weld the brass onto the marble. Look atop the old all buildings downtown Portland. They got like unique carvings and stuff. But what replaces it is plastic, like plastic membrane, plastic composite, wood flooring, engineered wood. For those who don't know, that means it's been smashed up and glued together. It's 5% glue. All the OSB board, the particle board, the plywood, we're gluing homes together nowadays. Even the nice places, especially the nice places like in the Pearl District. So for lack of a more appropriate term, we're pissing on what our ancestors handed down to us in our culture, our habitat. And it's all for what? The presumption that we make it cheaper for developers to build what they need to build, and that's gonna burst the bubble, but the bubble never bursts. I'm no economist, but it seems reasonable to say that to burst the bubble, you need more than to meet the supply. You need a surplus. But in a capitalist market, what developer is going to build what they don't think is going to be filled within the foreseeable future? This isn't China. We're not building ghost towns, and leverage is not going to be restored. So we need to try something different. On that note, I iterate what I usually iterate. Don't build the partition walls. Large-scale bunkhouses inside of cities. Put it on the market for those who would make use of it. Let them break the monopoly that physical privacy holds over the rental market and restore leverage for all those who show up asking for different versions of the same thing, expecting different results.
Out of time, so wrap up your thought, please. It's very helpful.
the spatial laws of physics didn't break down, so we could have a conversation about density. You need to utilize density in the vertical direction. Stack beds, not just stacked units. And I was hoping to talk about zoning codes, but suffice it to say, another time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that point. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Withy, welcome.
Mike Withy. So I think this is a great deal. I've been following how much we've been spending through the years since I've been working on the homeless and affordable housing issue here in Portland and throughout the country, really. And this deal is about $178,000 per unit. And it's a family-sized unit, so I think that's phenomenal for what the city has been spending. For just a studio, we could pay up to $268,000, right? So I love that. And I also, at yesterday's meeting with the Advisory Committee for the Oregon Harbor of Hope, we had the good fortune of having Kurt Krieger with us, and we discussed several things. But one of the things we discussed is how we would be able to use things like Dave Carboneau's Home First Development, where they can actually build for $80 a square foot stick-built apartments, right? And they do. How could we incorporate that and other things like our micro-communities? How could we build things for the city without it costing too much money? Just the red tape and the extra cost of prevailing wage. Other things make it cost prohibitive. So what I discovered and what we discovered, I guess, was that we could build them through the private sector and then just sell them to the city. So you would be getting about market. We would just try not to make any money. We could do it through B Corp, so we could do it through existing corporations already. So it was nice to find that out at Homer Williams' office, where we were surrounded by big developers that usually go the other way, that don't usually build for low-income folks, that are in the conversation now. So I hope during this process of spending the other $200 million that we do look at this close up and try to use it as a way to produce more affordable housing. So that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Anyone else? Okay, then let's take a vote, please, on the resolution as amended.
We need to vote on the amendment first.
Sorry, we haven't voted on the amendment yet. Let's do that.
Novick?
Aye.
Pritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, and then on the resolution as amended.
Novick?
Aye.
Pritz?
Thank you again for all the progress we've made on housing in the past few years, Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Hales. Aye.
Fish?
It's a great deal, and all of us know this address very well because Senator Gordley lives next door, and we all get invited to her neighborhood night out event every year. You know, Dan, some will say we're putting the cart before the horse, but in an emergency, we have to seize opportunities when they are in front of us, and the alternative would be to lose an incredible piece of land that's home to a lot of folks that would not have a better option. In fact, many of these folks would find themselves on the street. And I like the fact that you're buying a large campus that we can add to over time and we can improve. So I think this may have been a little quicker than the voters anticipated, but I think from the point of view of stretching the dollar, this is exactly what they bought. And I'm proud of the leadership that you gave to that effort for the housing bond. I was proud to work with you on that. And I think this is a great down payment on the promise of that investment.
Well, this is a very fitting first acquisition under the voter-approved housing bond. As I said earlier, 263 units, many of them family-sized, on 11 acres of land in sort of central northeast Portland. It really is a great location that will prevent these families from being displaced. This property was on the market. It was going to go into private hands, and rents were going to increase. We were approached by people in the private sector that said, you ought to buy this. And I'm really pleased that we, thanks to voters and their approval of the bond measure, are actually in a position to do that today. So this is a great acquisition, and I want to thank, again, Housing Bureau, Shannon Callahan in my office, for all their help in making this happen today, and my colleagues. Aye.
Hales.
Government moving too quickly. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Commissioner Saltzman, thank you very much. You know, I've said all along that our housing emergency response that we've worked on together was three things, fast action, deliberate experimentation, and real money. This one's all three. And it's also money very well spent, very cost-effectively spent. putting families into units that are sized for families, and we have a lot of families in need in our city. So bravo, really well done, and it's going to be a great neighborhood. Thanks to your leadership. Aye. Okay.